I think it's always appropriate when we come to the end of the year and begin a new year to think about the coming of the Lord. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We are to do this until He comes. So there's always an aspect of the Lord's Supper that is about the Lord's return. And as I was thinking about this particular text of Scripture that I want us to look at, I started to wonder, you know, what would you do if you knew that the Lord was coming this next week? That's sort of an interesting question. And I can look at some of the young people and they say, I can tell they're saying, well, I wouldn't go to school anymore. That's, you know, school would be over, no more school, homework, no more homework, all that stuff, you know, out the window, I'm not going to do that anymore. I say, yeah, that makes sense. And maybe you would say, I'm not going to work. I quit my job. I mean, I don't want to go to work, and I stop going to work and do something else. Maybe there's some things that you've thought about doing. You'd say, you know, if the Lord's coming this week, I'm going to do those things that I would like to do. And you might think differently about that. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And if you're thinking in spiritual terms, you might say, well, I'm going to take all of my money and I'm going to put billboards all over the city of Portland and saying, you know, Jesus Christ is coming soon. You need to trust in the Savior and be saved. So, well, that might be a worthy kind of thing to do as well. There are lots of things that we could think of with reference to the coming of the Lord, but it's also interesting to ask Peter that question. And he answers that question for us, and I want us to look just for a minute at 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verses 7 and following, 7 through 11, you know, Peter talks about the end, and this passage is just a little bit different in the sense that Peter wasn't saying, I know the Lord's coming in just a few days. But when you look at the opening statement in verse 7 of this particular paragraph, he says, the end of all things is at hand, or the end of all things is come, meaning it is come and is already here. So there's a sense that Peter, as he writes this particular text, says, you know, we're at the end. It's very interesting when you look at the fact that Peter lived some 2,000 years ago. The end has been there for a long time, you say. And the text says that. We're living in the end. And we are to have an end perspective with reference to life. But as Peter looks at this end times, it's interesting the things that he says will be important to do. Because he doesn't talk about quitting your jobs, and he doesn't talk about evangelism, he doesn't talk about a lot of things that seems to me you would say need to be emphasized at that particular point in time. But what he talks about, well, let me read what he talks about, and then we'll just make some observations here. But the end of all things is at hand, is come, and now is. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you look at this statement that Peter makes about living at the end, two things are emphasized. There's sort of a Godward aspect and then a manward aspect. The Godward aspect has to do with prayer. The manward aspect has to do with the one another's. Did you see the many references to one another? Have fervent love for one another. Be hospitable to one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So the first thing he says is, be in prayer to the Lord God, and then be ministering to one another in the manner that is described here. He says, as far as prayer is concerned, he said, be of sound mind and have a clear head as you think about praying. And what should we be praying about? Well, here in this particular passage, we're to be praying about the kind of service that honors the Lord. Prayer is our connection with God. And as we think about living in the end times, we should be a people of prayer. Prayer is the means by which we pour out our hearts to God. It is the means by which we request God to pour out blessings for us. It is the connection that we have with Almighty God. And what an amazing thing that the God of this universe listens to us and hears us when we pray. That's a tremendous blessing, and it seems that knowing that blessing should bring us into His presence on a regular basis. And you think in this particular text, if it says if you're living in the end times, and you know, go and do something, but he says if you're living in the end times, get down on your knees and be of sound mind with self-control and exercising a clear head about being in prayer to God, looking to Him for the blessings that He gives, looking to Him to do what He has promised to do. I think we should learn to take our prayer requests and take the Word of God and bring them together, asking God to fulfill His Word in our own personal lives and fulfill His Word in the world in which we live. Are you praying for revival? Are you praying for awakening? Are you praying that God will save? We live in a world that is in so many ways moving in the wrong direction. And so moving in the wrong direction morally. And we look at all this, and our response should be to go before the Lord God and to ask Him for the change and ask Him for the blessings that only He can give. So the Lord says, Peter says here in this particular passage, you're coming to the end, you need to pray. You need to be praying that the Lord will strengthen you, will bless you, will keep you, will provide for you, will be faithful in doing the very things that He has promised to do. You need to be talking to Him. The other thing that's notable about this particular text is the way in which you're to engage in ministry to one another. I'm sort of a little bit startled by this. We're to love one another. Not startled that we should love one another, but startled that he's saying the Lord is going to come. What should we do? We should be on our knees before Him in prayer. We're living in the end times. We're living at the end. And we should love one another. Okay? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Probably a passage taken from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. So that's a good thing to do. That's a wonderful thing to do. Love is the characteristic that we have as Christians. It's sort of the sign of Christianity is the love of Christ in us. And then he says we should be hospitable. And that's really showing, you know, hospitality is caring for strangers. As individuals like Peter would travel around, he was dependent upon the hospitality of Christians to care for him. And there were others who traveled around. The Apostle Paul traveled and was dependent upon the kindness of Christians to care for him. You look at this, and again, you should say, well, we don't have time for hospitality. The Lord, we're living at the end. The end has come and is now here. Loving one another, being hospitable to one another, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And then he says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another. Love one another, be hospitable to one another, and serve one another. And the text says each one actually has received a gift. The Spirit of God gives us a grace gift. It's the ability to minister and serve. Every one of you sitting here is gifted by God to minister to the people around you. You say, well, what is my gift? And I say, I don't know. You know, minister to the people around you, and God will make known your gift to you. But God has gifted you. I take God at his word. He says he's given a grace. Everyone has received a grace gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve. Minister. Encourage. I always say the best thing to do is to minister to the need that is in front of you. You know, the Lord will enable you and the Lord will direct you in these things. To love one another. To be hospitable to one another, and to minister to one another. But then he mentions in this ministry that you're to minister as a steward, as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. That means as we are serving, we are to speak the utterances of God. And the word that's used there is the word, the very word of God. We're to speak Scripture. And we are to serve, and the action here is very vivid action. We are to speak, continually speak. We are to continually serve by the strength which God supplies. And this is a wonderful statement because we're stewards of the grace of God. And as stewards, it means it's God's house. We're in his house, and we are to manage his house, which means we speak his word, and we serve with his power. We say, well, I think that that's pretty clear about what the Christian life is like, loving one another, being hospitable to one another, one another, and serving one another. That is clearly what we are to do. But there's something I think that is important to be seen in all of these kinds of things. The reason why we are to pray is because we're asking God, in this sense, for his grace to enable us to engage in the kind of ministry that he's talking about here. We're asking God to enable us to take his word and to use his word and to serve one another with the strength that he gives to us. Because you see, when the Lord comes, what is important is not that we have everything done that we want to do. Not that we are doing things and finishing up and completing things or... It's not about us. You see, the important thing is that when Jesus Christ comes, that the things that we are doing glorify him. How do you glorify him? Well, you glorify him by engaging in ministry and in service by his strength and power, using his word. God is glorified when we use his resources. When we use his word and his power, he doesn't need our words and our power. When we use his word and his power in accomplishing a ministry, in his household, and he receives the glory because it's his work. Always when we think of glorifying God, I think you should always think of a circle with God at the top. It starts with God, and God gives grace to enable us to do the things that he requires of us, that he commands us to do. We receive from him, and the reason why that kind of service glorifies God is because we are giving God the glory for that which he has done, for all that he has said, and we give it to him. Because it belongs to him. You look at this text of Scripture, and it seems to me to be saying, when the Lord, you know that the Lord is coming, make sure that he is glorified when he comes. It's all about him. And when he comes, what he should come, would find when he comes is a church that is depending upon him, deriving resources from him, using his word, ministering by the grace gift that he gives, depending upon his strength and power, engaging in life and ministry to his glory, that which he has done. What pleases God is not what you do for him. What pleases God is what he does for you. And we take all that God gives to us and all the resources and all the strength and power that he grants to us, and it is used for him. It's his. It's for his glory. Glorifying God does not start with us. It starts with him. And as he grants us the resources and the power and the grace to love one another, to be hospitable to one another, to serve one another, when he comes, he will come and we will say, glory be to God. Because all that has taken place in your household is your word by your strength and by your power. Glory be to God. And what Peter is saying in this particular text is, if you're living in the last times, you need to be getting strength, grace, and power from him so that when he comes, he's glorified. That should be our great concern. That when Jesus Christ comes, that he receives the glory relating to our own lives, relating to our own ministry, relating to the things that have taken place. That's the challenge that we face. And as we look at the new year, we say perhaps the Lord will come in this next year. That'd be a wonderful thing. And we would be truly delighted for him to come. But we should be truly delighted for him to come and find us in his household. All of us, stewards in his household, using his word. I want to know, one of the great dangers in the church today is that we're getting away from the word of God. I have individuals who correspond with me who claim to be Christians who don't believe in the things that are in the Bible. Very confusing. But if you don't believe the things that are in the Bible, you're not a Christian. Christianity is defined by truth. We're getting away from his word. We're getting away from the truth. We're living in a postmodern age where truth doesn't really matter. And that's trickling down into the church, where truth really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything you want. And the Bible stands before that kind of thinking and says, God is absolute truth resides in God, eternally, forever. And God says, I want you to give my word, because my word is the truth. And when he comes, he should find us in his household with his truth. Not only believing it, and not only speaking it, but obeying it, and ministering it one to another. And you should find us together, loving one another, being hospitable to one another, engaging in grace ministry to one another, by his strength and power, for his glory. Let us be a church that is committed to the glory of God. And the reason why we stand by the word, and the reason why we minister to one another, and the reason why we love one another, is because our intention is to glorify our God. And we engage in all of that ministry, not by our ability. If I say you're to love one another, you're to be hospitable to one another, and you are to be serving one another, you might say, well, that's something I need to drum up. You don't need to drum it up. Bring it up inside of your own heart. Get it from him. Because you're using it in his household for his glory. And when he comes, let us make sure that when he comes, he receives the glory for that which he has done in our hearts and in our lives. That's why we never get away from the word, and we never get away from his grace, and we never get away from trusting in him. And may God find us on our knees, loving one another. On our knees in prayer, loving one another, caring for one another, ministering to one another by the grace that he gives to us. It's a great challenge that we have. We as Christians should be encouraged. We live in a world of darkness, but we need to see the grace of God in this world of darkness, that he receives all the glory. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many things that we are commanded to do in your word. And as we see these commands, we immediately recognize our own inability. That you have commanded us to do what we are responsible to do, but not able to do. And it is our desire that you should receive the glory for all that you command of us. We're thankful that you give grace, that you give your strength and power, that you quicken us, that you enable us to serve you and to live for you and to honor you in such a way that we receive all of the strength and power from you, and we give you the glory, both in what we do and in voicing that glory to you for all that you have done. Lord, our heart's desire is that you should receive glory. And we pray that when you come into this world, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that you will find your church glorifying you. And we pray that our practice may be such that we are receiving strength and power and grace from you, that you should be honored both now and throughout all eternity. We ask your blessing to be upon us as we continue to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he has given to us. We're thankful that he came and he gave his life that we might live through him. And we live by his death, we live by his resurrection, we live by his strength and power, we live by all the resources that you give to us in Christ alone. Thankful for that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we stand before you pure and perfect because of all that you have given to us. And may we, as we remember even what you have done, give you the glory for all that you've accomplished for us in Christ. Continue to bless this hour, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.